Good to see you this morning. Good to serve the Lord. Rewards are out of this world. Can I tell you a story real quick before I get into my message? This happened about 35 years ago, at least. And the former denomination I was with, we were in South Louisiana. And every month they had a youth rally, and it would rotate from different churches. We were in Church Point, this particular one. And what they always did at the youth rally, they'd always ask a minister to take up the offering. And they'd minister did all kind of odd things. They would auction off cakes. It was just a lot of fun. We were in Church Point, and they asked me, said, Brother Martin, would you take up the offering? I said, well, yeah, I'd be glad to do it. So when I went to the mic, all I said to the people was, the Lord wants you to give, and you give whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And I prayed. When they took up the offering, one of the ministers came and told me, said, Brother Martin, that is the largest offering we have ever gotten. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because we have a need, Christian Challenge. We had an air conditioner that went out. These air conditioners are about 17 years old, so they're reaching their heyday. But the air conditioner went out, and we had to replace it this week, about $1,600 for that. Of course, this time of the year is kind of a hard time in finances, but I'm not complaining because God always, you can look at me and tell that I hadn't done without a meal, neither has Nathan. But I'm going to ask the Lord to put on your heart what to give, maybe give something extra, and put it in an envelope back there, just put AC on it, it'll go toward the air conditioning, and it'll help us out. Not complaining, just giving you an opportunity to give if the Lord puts it on your heart to give. If He doesn't, don't worry about it. Because He will provide a way. He always makes a way. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we give honor to You. Thank You for Your children. They do listen to Your voice. And they do know how to give and desire to give. We all do, Lord. So we ask You, Father, just You speak to the hearts of those that You know who has it to give, Lord. And You know that some may even make a sacrifice, but Lord, that's between You and them. And Father, we just bless You, praise You, and thank You for Your goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's good to be with you this morning. A very interesting thing happened in Houston. We were told by Houston, MD Anderson, that we would need to be there from 7 to 10 days, working days, which about 2 weeks, for evaluation on my situation. But God had already spoke to me. And any of you folks that keep up my blog, I try to keep you informed with what's going on. The Lord had already told me to expect the unexpected. We were there 2 days. Did everything they needed to do. Let us go home. We go back the 28th. I still expect the unexpected. It's been that way from the very beginning of my walk with the Lord. I want you to go with me to Ephesians 3, and I'm going to tell you something about this message. I have several scriptures that I want to share with you today, but the reason I want to share these scriptures, I want God to speak to your heart directly from His Word. And if there was ever a message, let's just say for an example, this was going to be my last message ever to the church, then this is the most important message I could ever preach to you. And this is what it is. It's the most important message I think that I could ever preach. I ask you to pay careful attention, and I ask the Lord to open your ears to hear what the Spirit would say to you. You may want to take notes. It may be a wake-up call for some of you. It'll be a strengthening I want it to be a strengthening encouragement for you. But I want you to listen very carefully because this is a very important message to the church. I'm not preaching to sinners. I mean, it applies to sinners who don't belong to the Lord, but this is to the church. So follow with me, beginning in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. Paul said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If I were to ask you a question, and most of you would answer it one way or another, but we'd probably end up with a summation. What is it in your personal experience that validates that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? What is it that validates Christianity? What is it that authenticates that Christianity is real and not just a religion? I would suggest to you that it is His presence in your life. Can you say amen? Now, everything that Paul said, every statement that Paul made here is very significant. And two times he uses the word power. If you look at the last part of verse number 16, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. And then if you look, if you'll drop on down a little further, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So we have two issues concerning power. Power in the inner man and God's ability to do more than you can even think or even ask, according to the power that works within us. I don't want to be a Greek scholar, but I need to explain a term. The word dunamis in Greek is the word power. It means inherent power, the ability that is inherent in a thing. And every Greek word that comes from the root word duna expresses being able, the ability to accomplish something. So when Paul's talking about power here, he's not talking about something in the abstract. He's talking about the power of presence and the power of a person. Now, I want to give you another scripture that where Paul explains this maybe even more for our benefit. If you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 12 and 13, where Paul uses this root word, but he uses enduamu again. I'll explain that term to you in just a moment, and we're going to get out of the Greek. But I just want you to see the importance of what Paul's saying. In verse 12, this is Philippians 4 and 12, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The root word here, but it expresses itself as an infusion of personal strength that comes from Jesus Christ. And the point I want to make to you as we get into our ministry today is that your walk with the Lord is very personal. It's extremely personal. It's not what others may say to you. It is what Jesus is speaking in your life personally. It's what He's saying to you. It's not that He can't speak to us through others. He speaks to you through the pulpit. This is the power of the preaching the gospel ministry. God speaks, always speaks through His Word. But there's two things you need to know. Number one, that it's not in ourselves to direct our own lives. If you get that one down, it'll help you understand why you need a Savior. It is not in ourselves to direct our own lives. You will make a mess out of your life if you try to do it. And number two, God, if you want God to speak to you, God has a speaking place. And I'll talk about that a little later in our message. So this is our subject. This is the way. Walk in it. Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless our hearts to hear what the Spirit's saying in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get my two issues? It's not in ourselves to direct our lives. You can't just shake a preacher's hand or wall and squall at an altar and speak in some whatever foreign language which some groups teach. All that's irrelevant. It's not in your religion. Religion sometimes takes the place of faith in Jesus. It is not in ourselves to direct our lives. Understand that, and also understand God has a speaking place. Now, if you're going to take notes, these are the areas I'm going to take you into, in three areas. Number one, I want to talk to you about the personal side of faith. Just get you out of some of this wacky, charismatic teaching today. The personal side of faith. I'm talking about where you demand and you command and you everything's under your power and under your control and you manipulate the divine forces and you can make everything happen the way you want it by what you're speaking. That's rubbish, folks. That's not biblical Christianity. So I want to talk to you about the personal side of faith. Secondly, I want to talk to you about expect the unexpected. What that actually means. Expect the unexpected. And then number three, I want to talk to you about the love that surpasses. It's a paradox. God wants us to believe a paradox. The love that surpasses. Now, will you relax? Will you say, Lord, speak to my heart? There's something that Jeremiah said we needed to know. If you go back to Jeremiah, I've already quoted this, or alluded to it, but I want you to see it. Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'd like you to hear something that Jeremiah says we need to know. I want you to see it from the Bible itself. That way it'll have a greater impact on you. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Do you see it? There's something we need to know. We do not have the ability to direct our own lives. We cannot take charge over our lives and things work out right. It is not in man. I read it again. O Lord, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Now, most of you are familiar, you heard about my buddy. His name is General Claudius Josephus. He's a great Dane. My kids gave him to me several years ago on Father's Day. We call him CJ. CJ walks with me all the time. He's very close to me. He's close to Betty also, but he's extremely close to me. He's almost attached at my hip. Anywhere I am, you're going to see CJ. Every morning I go out and I get the paper. I have my morning coffee or whatever. But all I have to do to say to CJ is, CJ, come walk with me. He understands that. And he'll walk right up to my left side, and I put my hand on his neck, and we'll walk together. That's all I have to say is, CJ, come walk with me. That is the essence of faith, to walk with Jesus. That was God's design and purpose from the very beginning. In fact, the first time you see the term walk in the Bible is in the Garden of Eden. And I want to take you back there for a moment because I want you to see this. Genesis chapter 3. And I know you're well familiar with it, but we still need to hear it so we can put it together. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, this is Adam and Eve in the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I don't have to tell you what happened there. You know what happened. There was a separation that, because of sin that had taken place. They all of a sudden, they didn't want to be near God. But it says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I'd like to break down every word, but I'm not going to do it. It's an awesome statement that's being made here in the Hebrew about God and the breeze, the Holy Spirit, all that's involved in this. But what we're looking at here is the story of God's will. It is God's will for man to walk with Him in a personal relationship with Him. Now, the next time we see a personal issue concerning the walk of God walking with somebody is going to be in chapter 5 of Genesis. So if you'll just pass over there to Genesis chapter 5 and look at verse number 22 through verse number 24. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took in. Now, you may have heard the old story. This is just people like to say this. But Enoch and God are walking together, and it gets towards sunset. And God says, Enoch, listen, we're closer to my home than your home. Let's just go home with me. Anyway, it said God took him. Where did God take him? God took him home with him. And so here's another issue, personal issue of the walk of God. And from that moment on, the key statement about believers in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is that they walked with the Lord. That was the identifying mark. That became the personal keynote of a believer's life, that they walked with the Lord. And my point is this, is that the call of salvation is a personal call. It is a call to come walk with Jesus. He's calling us to come walk with Him. This is why it can never be about religion. And I don't mean to be ugly when I talk about religion, but the point I want to make is that religion can become a substitute for your faith in Jesus, where you have faith in a religion and not faith in Him. God didn't tell you to walk in a religion, or in a form, or in a ritual, or in a bunch of rules, or a bunch of letters, of do's and do's not, or do nots. But He called you to walk with Him personally, that He can walk you through life and care for you and love you. And the point is that faith is not something that we conjure up. Faith is actually an expression of Jesus speaking into our lives. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, there's been a lot of teaching out of Hebrews 11, verse number 1 over the years. I think some of it actually is misdirected, because it gives you the idea that you're the one that's in charge of everything that happens in your life when it comes to faith. You're absolutely in charge of nothing. He's in charge of all. But I want you to listen to this one scripture. This is in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. My point is, where do you get that conviction and where do you get that assurance? You get that from the Lord. You don't conjure that up. You don't imagine that. You don't just start working principles and formulas and steps. We've all been through that. I've taught some of that over the year, many years ago. It sounded like it's good teaching because it gave us more personal involvement and charge and control over our lives. But we go amiss with that kind of teaching. That assurance and that conviction comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from a personal walk with Him. It's important that we understand that. The point is this, that Noah didn't just decide to build a boat. Abraham didn't just decide to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans. Sarah didn't just decide to get strength to have a baby. None of those people did that on their own. Everybody did what they did because the Lord was speaking into their lives. Understand that. It's important that we understand that. And it all begins with, come walk with me. Quit walking your way. Quit designing your own future. Quit taking charge of your own life. What Jesus says is, come walk with me. I'll walk you. I'll walk you through whatever you need to walk through in life. I'll walk you right straight into heaven. I'll be your victory. I'll make you triumphant in every issue that ever comes up in your life. If you go back to Genesis 12, I love the study Abraham. Because he is the prototype. He's God's prototype of a believer's walk with Him in the new covenant. And it says that in more than one place. But if you look at Genesis 12, and just the first couple of verses in Genesis 12, I'm going to skip around several verses, but now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. Now, that's not the only time God speaks to Abraham. If you study the life of Abraham, the high water marks of his life are points of God speaking into his life. Even when he got in trouble, God got him out of trouble. But you see that in the Abrahamic life, his life is marked out by the Lord speaking to him, the Lord taking charge over his life. And it all began with, you know, come out or come go walk with me. Well, what does that have to do with us? We are called the children of Abraham. And we are called to walk in the steps of our father Abraham. Well, we're not going on Mount Moriah to offer our kids as a sacrifice. The steps of the Abraham were steps that were ordered by the Lord. It is not in a man to direct his own path. And you study the life of Abraham, and the keynote of Abraham's life was God directing him, God speaking to him, God blessing him, God sharing him, God correcting him, but it was the Lord speaking into his life. If you want to take notes, go to Romans 4:12. Let me give you some scriptures real quick, just for your notes. I'll read them and then we'll pass on, but I want you to see them because I want the Lord to speak to your heart today from this message. Romans 4:12 says that Abraham is the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. That may sound kind of odd, but it's just talking about Abraham followed after the Lord. And God spoke into his life, and he walked in the steps that God gave him to walk in. Now, if you go to Galatians 3, then I'm going to bring you back to Genesis for a moment. Galatians 3, verse number 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, that is, he removed the letter, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of the Lord, the same God that was speaking into Abraham's life, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. God has called us to the Abraham-type walk. Now, I have to take you back to Genesis for a moment. Go back to Genesis 48. Because we're going to skip over to Jacob. And again, I'm trying to make a solid point for you here. But I want you to listen carefully to Jacob. Jacob is about to pass off the scene. He's blessed. He has blessed his children. He blessed Joseph's children, Ephraim and Manasseh. But I want you to hear something that Jacob says, how he describes and acknowledges God in his life. And this is how God wants us to be able to acknowledge him and describe him in our life. If you look at Genesis 48, verse number 15, he blesses Joseph. This is Jacob blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. May my name live on in them. And the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. We have grown into a multitude in the midst of the earth. But did you notice how Jacob described and acknowledged the Lord in his life? Listen to it once again, because it has something to do with us. Verse 15. The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. What does that have to do with us? You know exactly what that has to do with us. The same God who was the shepherd of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became incarnate in his son Jesus Christ. He became visible, walked among men. He became the great teacher. He gave his life. He purchased out of all the nations a people for his own namesake. And he has become our shepherd, a living shepherd, a daily shepherd, a walking with us shepherd. And he says to us, come walk with me. Go to John 10. Most of you are going to have this, or many of you are going to have this one marked in your Bible. I know you never get tired of hearing it, but listen carefully, because the Lord nails it down. And I'm going to share a term with you that's sometimes is missed, but I want you to see this one, especially John 10, verse number 27. Well, I'm going to throw in verse 26, which is kind of a scary one. This is for people who don't care about things, the Lord. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. Now, that's the guy not following God. That's the lost man. Doesn't want anything to do with the Lord. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Then he talks about the Father. Do you see the keynote there? My sheep won't follow somebody else. They're not just the religious-minded people. They're not after the glitter and the shine of this world. They know my voice, and they follow me. They acknowledge me. They're acquainted with me. They have personal relationship with me. They walk with me. Do you see that? Now, I want to seal this with a special term that's used for the Holy Spirit, and then we'll move on. Jesus said he was going to come back to us in the form of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ. The Greek word there is parakletos. Now, we know we have Jesus in our hearts. We have Jesus in our life. We have in our presence. But parakletos speaks of an advocate, of a comforter, but it speaks of someone called alongside to help. So not only do we have Jesus in our hearts, but we have this oddity where it's like he's walking beside us. And like he speaks into our ear. He speaks into our heart. He speaks into our minds. He corrects us. He'll challenge us. He does all kinds of things. But parakletos means someone called alongside to help. Now the scriptures I want to give you for that is John 14. Well, I have you in John. And verse number 16 through 18, then I'm going to give you the prophet picture of that. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, another helper. King James, I think, says comforter, which is equally a good translation. That he may be with you how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Now, the word truth means reality. He will be the reality in your life behind anything else you may see with your eyes. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's telling us that he's going to come into our lives in a spiritual form. Parakletos, call alongside to help, comforter, advocate. Encourager. And this is where I got the title of my message today. If you go back to Isaiah 30, where Isaiah speaks of this awesome expression of God in our life. Verse number... I think I have the wrong scripture. Isaiah 30... No, I don't. 21. You have it? I want to give you verse number 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Let me folks know that that's his desire. There's a longing in his heart to love you, to be gracious to you, to bless you, to help you, to comfort you. Therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. But I want you to see verse number 21. Or verse 20. And the Lord has given you bread of privation, water of oppression. He, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. This is the first coming of Jesus and the second coming. But verse 21 is the one I want you to see. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. You see the point that's being made? God's going to tell you when you're walking wrong. This is the way. Don't go that way. We call that conviction. Don't do that. Don't go that way. This is the way. I want you to walk in this. It's a very foolish child of God that would ignore this is the way. Walk ye in it. So anyway, that's the personal side of faith. We need to understand that. When I say, CJ, come walk with me, he walked right up to my left side, put my hand on his shoulder, and he'll walk right beside me all the way to the house or wherever. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus is saying to his people, come walk with me. Now, it brings us to something we need to learn about expecting the unexpected. This is the second area. Ephesians 3:20, Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Earlier this month, just come give you a little bit of a personal side. I do my devotions every morning. I've done it for over 40 years. I read the Bible through cover to cover, then I start over again. I've done that for, this is my pattern of reading. So I know God can speak to me from anywhere in the Bible. It's not that I do other kinds of studies, but I happen to be in Isaiah 64 earlier this month, verse number 3 and 4. Where God, and by the way, let me say something to you about God speaking to you personally. He can take anything out of context he wants to apply to you personally. You don't teach that. You don't make that a doctrine. You don't hang that on somebody else. But when God wants to speak to you, he can speak to you from anywhere in that book and make it apply to your situation. This is what he did. And when I was reading that morning, I had that stirring in my heart where God said two things. Oh, you don't necessarily have to go there. If you already have it, sister, that's fine. But there's two things that stood out to me. I knew it from the Lord. He told me, number one, expect the unexpected. He told me, I want you to expect the unexpected. And then he told me that he always acts on behalf of those who wait for him. I am a waiter on the Lord. We as God's people need to be, not to be hasty in all the things that we're trying to do and the things that we're trying to work and things we're trying to put together and the designs of our life. God wants us to learn to wait on him. But wait with expectation of the unexpected, because you don't ever know, God's ways are not your ways. He can do far more than you could even pray or ask or even think. So God spoke to me and told me to expect the unexpected. We went to MD Anderson, and most of you maybe know this by now, but we were told by MD Anderson that we were to expect to be there at least 7 days, up to 10 days for evaluation, 10 working days. That's 2 weeks, folks. We were there 2 days. God told me to expect the unexpected. They did their test, whatever they needed to do. It was a very, I'll be honest with you, it was a very pleasant experience. Not all the tests were pleasant, but I mean, being there, it is an awesome place. Positive, uplifting, encouragement. I wanted to find somebody to witness to, and everybody I found was a Christian. So I had a lot of fellowship with a lot of folks. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And of course, I'm going to run my mouth. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. I don't have much other conversation to talk about. But they enjoyed that too. But see, God had already told me, and I told you ahead of time. See, God has done that many times. He does it for you if you'll get serious with him. You don't play games. You don't just open your Bible and say, "God, speak to me," but you don't have a repentant heart. And you're not desiring to seek God with all your heart like you ought to be, don't expect God to speak to you very much. He's going to speak into the heart of those who are longing for him and are waiting for him and want to serve him and know they need him. They need him. I need him every day, every hour. I know that. When you know that, you get answers from him. And so this was an awesome, but my point is this. You want to hear from God. How many of you want to hear from God? Now, those of you that have years of experience behind you, you already know this, or you're learning this. God can speak to us through many ways. He speaks to us in providence and in care. He speaks to us directly to our heart. But God has a special speaking place, and it's this book right here. It's this Bible. And if we'd ever grab a hold of that truth, we would begin to understand how God ministers encouragement and strength into our life. Go back to Isaiah 29 for a moment. I want you to see just a very important scripture that directs our attention to that. I had you in Isaiah 30. If you look at Isaiah 29, in verse number 18 and 19, everybody have it, Isaiah 20, 18, 19. "On that day, the deaf will hear words of a book." There's going to be a speaking book. "And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord. and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Do you see the language? There's going to be a speaking book. God has a speaking book. On that day, the deaf will hear something we need to hear. It's going to come from a book. And those words are going to do something awesome in our life, that out of our gloom and darkness, we'll see. And in the midst of our afflictions, or whatever our struggle may be, we're going to have an increase of gladness in the Lord. And we're going to rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Nail that down. Now, here's the problem some of God's people have, because they say, well, I don't like to read the Bible because it's boring, and I don't ever hear God, and I hear preachers talk about it, I don't ever hear. There's a reason you're not hearing Him. It's because you've got too much of the spirit of the world in your mind. Pardon me. It's because you don't have a repentant heart and you don't want to change your ways. You want to be in charge of your own life. Well, why should He speak into your life if you want to be in charge of your life? You're not going to do what He wants you to do anyway. So forgive me, folk. I'm a very positive, loving, kind preacher. But I need to tell it like it is. We can't hear from God because we've got too much other stuff we're listening to. Does that make sense? Well, let me give you a scripture to kind of nail that down. Go to Jeremiah 29. Well, Israel had that problem also, but I want you to listen to this one. Jeremiah 29:13. Look at verse number 12 and 13. Do you have it? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You can't have a divided... You can't live in the spirit of the world and expect the Spirit of the Lord to guide you and bless you in that. We find that out a lot of times the hard way, but I want to make a point to you. You see, when God directed your life, He doesn't tell you everything. He tells you what you need to know to encourage you, to strengthen you, to get you moving with Him, and to get you holding on to Him. He doesn't want you at any point in your life taking charge of your own life. He wants you always to press close to Him. He'll always tell you enough to destroy fear and to keep us moving with God. If you go back to Isaiah 55, let the Lord speak to your heart from this one. This tells you the heart of God. Isaiah 55. I'm going to skip a little bit here. First two verses. Well, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. Doesn't that sound just like Jesus? Sound like Jesus because it is Jesus. He's the Word of God speaking to us. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. I'm going to show you how to settle your money problems. I'm going to show you how to settle your situations. You're not going to have to buy it from me. Just come to me. Come buy wine and milk without money, without food, without cost. I'm going to tell you how to live. Why do you spend money? Why do you take charge over everything in your own life? Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. I will be as merciful to you as I was merciful to David. And go study David. You never saw such a messed up life in all your life. Nobody had a more messed up life than David. That man had so many wives, I don't know how he could deal with the wives like that. I mean, thank God for one wife. Praise the Lord. I married the most beautiful woman, I'm telling you, this side of heaven. I know some of you men will argue with me on that, but you miss how I feel. God gave me a little girl that has Choctaw Indian in her and blue eyes. And I sleep with one eye open all the time. Because she knows how to use them Tommy Hawks. She wakes up every morning and says, boy, you are fine, man. Well, not exactly like that, but what I tell folks that I'm fixing to marry, the most difficult years of marriage are the first 44. And after that, it gets real easy. No, I'm kidding. You've had a wonderful marriage. Love you, darling. You have to get people laughing, folks. But I think you're getting my point. Drop down to verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. Listen, folks, how many times have you repented? Do you repent sometimes every day a little? See, God's calling his children. Paul talked about that in writing to Timothy. God knows the foundation of God is sure, having this seal. God knows those that are his, and let those who name the Lord depart from wickedness. So he's telling us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. There will never be a day in your life he'll not pardon you and be gracious to you and help you. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And he talks about the great vast difference, why we should be expecting the unexpected. What does this have to do with faith? It has everything to do with it. God wants you to keep looking, and God wants you to keep walking with him. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is in Psalm 85. And again, I want you to let the Lord speak to your hearts. Psalm 85. Listen carefully to it now. I want to begin at verse number 8. Everybody have it? And I want you to catch the last statement made in this portion of scriptures. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Have you ever turned to folly? I have. Many of you haven't, but I have. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. This is the Father and the Son. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him, listen to this statement, and make his footsteps into a way. God wants you to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Side by side, Paracletos, called alongside to help you, to comfort you. If you look at that little picture on the bulletin that you got, there's not a more precious picture to me that describes our walk with Jesus, where Jesus says, come walk with me. But did you catch that last part? It is his footsteps. And what Jesus is going to do as you walk with him is when fear raises its ugly head, or when the Satan lion roars at you with bad news or says something through somebody else, the Lord's going to speak into your life and he's going to say, do not be afraid. They say there's 365 times in the Bible something similar to that statement is made. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And that's always going to be the message of heaven to his children. Don't be afraid of your enemy. Don't be afraid of your situation. Don't be afraid of the disease. Don't be afraid of what anybody else has said. I am with you. I will guide you. I will keep you. I will lead you. Don't be afraid. All I want you to do is look at me. Just look at me. Take your eyes off everything else. Don't let their voices startle you. Don't let the reports get you down. Fix your eyes on me. Walk with me. Walk in my steps. Walk beside me. Keep your eyes on me. Psalm 34. I wrote a song out of this years ago. The Lord gave me songs over the years. This one was titled, Come Ye Children, Listen. Hearken unto me. I wrote it out of the King James. But I want you to listen to Psalm 34. I think Nathan drew on this the other day. Don't you love Nathan, folks? Isn't Nathan an awesome Bible teacher? I am so proud of him. Just thank God for him. Psalm 34, look at verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from most of my fears. Did you catch it? How many did he deliver you from? He delivered you from all you have to do. I sought the Lord. There's never going to come a place where you can't seek Him. And you can't, I'm talking to children of God, folks. You're always going to be able to seek the Lord and call upon His name. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. Seek me, I'll answer you. And He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him. This is God's children. Looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried. I've been that poor man many times. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Do you see that? I have to make a point. This is a very crucial point in the faith walk. Every time God speaks into your life is for a purpose. It is to destroy your fear. It is to destroy your doubt. It is to give you assurance. It is to give you understanding. It is to give you a sense of direction. And this is what Paul meant. I can do all things through Christ who infuses what it means, who puts His strength, who speaks strength into my life. If what you're hearing is creating confusion and condemnation and frightening you and hurting you, it's not from the Lord. Even when God has to rebuke you, it is a rebuke of correction and done in love, and you know it's from a loving Father. Can you say amen? You've been saying amen. You can say amen. Will you say amen? Will you say thank you, Jesus? Over to God. And do what I do. I embarrass some of you. See, this is why one of his titles is Prince of Peace. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. He went on to say, in this world you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What he's saying is, I'll be the victory of your life. I will infuse my strength into you. I will give you my courage. I will give you my strength. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen. That's what he said. I believe that. I'm gullible. Are you gullible? You ought to be gullible for the Lord. I remember the first time I ever heard the shepherd's voice. It was in 1964, I think, around June. And I won't go into all that, but most of you know my testimony enough. You've heard it about 1,000 times. I'm doing everything I knew to find God in the religion that I was in. I'm seeking with all my heart. I'm in every revival they're ever having in the altars, crying and begging God to save me. Some of you folks know exactly what I'm talking about. That was what we were told to do. We had to get good enough. First time I ever heard God speak to me directly was from a book. And I'm reading in John 14. You don't have to go there. I'm reading in that book. This is God's speaking place. Get in the book, folks. He's talking to his disciples, and I'll just make it real short. You see, he had been with me before I was born. And he'd been with you before you were born. You used to always know that. Your name was inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life before creation ever began, because God knows all things. Don't ask me to explain that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. My mama taught me that my earliest childhood, remember my mama teaching me to pray. Now lay me down to sleep. Thank you, Jesus. My mama hated religion. She'd been burnt by it pretty rough. But she loved the Lord. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. the Lord that I prayed to as a little boy spoke to my heart when I was 24 years old from John 14 and said to me, have I been with you so long, buddy, and you don't know who I am? I knew it was the shepherd. I don't know how I knew. I just knew it was the voice of my shepherd. And what I'm doing today happened even more then, because my Bible began to have teardrops on the pages of my Bible. And he always affects me that way. That's why I love my devotions with Jesus. I can't stand it to miss a morning devotion. I can't. I've got to have my devotion. Because I want to talk with the one who gave his life for me and purchased me with his own blood. And I belong to him. And I don't want to displease him. I've done it lots. If I should die before awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know that prayer. It's a sweet little innocent child prayer. Expect the unexpected. God will speak into your life in unexpected ways. And he's going to speak to you at least two ways. You'll recognize his voice, even if he speaks through somebody else. You'll recognize his voice. But he's also going to speak to you through his providence and his care. He arranges situations in life that you recognize the hand of the Lord. When God told me concerning M.D. Anderson to expect the unexpected, that's exactly what happened. He spoke to me this morning. I gave you the scripture. I didn't tell you where it came from. Jeremiah 10:23. It's not in a man to direct his own way. God spoke that to me this morning, so I'm sharing with you my morning devotion. Jeremiah 10:23. Bring you to the last area. Don't you love the Lord? It's good to serve him. Let me talk to you. Everything that I've said so far is based upon the love that surpasses the paradox. God wants us to believe a paradox. And if you go back to Ephesians 3, where I began, where we began, I want you to listen. You're going to hear God telling us something through the Apostle Paul, somewhat of a paradox. He wants us to know and experience something we can't know fully. We together? Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that it derives the right to have its name, some authority. God calls us families. A lot more to that. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and here's the paradox, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Can I say that statement again? God says, through the apostle, he wants us to know the Christ, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. He wants you to know, that is, in the sense of the experience. God's not going to cut you off. Sometimes we come to the place and we feel like we've crossed the mark of his love. You can't cross the mark of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. So here it says he wants us to know the love of Christ. That if he wants, if this is in the sense of experience, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. This is the mystery of our salvation. This is the mystery of our walk with the Lord. God says, I've got a love for you that you're never going to understand. You're not going to ever understand it in this life. You're going to write songs about it. Most of your songs are going to be about my love, but you're never going to understand it. You're not saved because you loved me, what John says. You're saved because I loved you. How deep is that? What is the breadth of that? What is the length of that? How do you measure God's love? I don't know how. But I know every time I've come to the fountain, I've drunk from the fountain of His love. I'll be 67 years old in a few days. And I'll tell you something, folks. If God never did one other thing for me, I've got so much to thank Him for through all eternity. That God loved me, and I loved Him. And He's been a father to me, and a mother to me, and a brother and a sister. Can you say amen? This is good preaching, folks. This will get under your breastplate. Get into your heart. God wants you to hear from Him. It's so important about that. And so here it says, He wants us to know something we can't know. Not in all of His death. And the point is this. The call of God always remains on your life. What is God always saying to you? Come walk with me. Come walk with me. I'll walk you out of this trouble. I'll walk you through your suffering. I'll be with you. I'll make you more than able. I'll infuse my strength in you. Just come walk with me. Quit taking direction over your own life, child. Surrender to me. Let me have the direction of your life. You see, and this is also the call of repentance for the straying child. How many folks have ever been a straying child? Well, you look at one. He always calls us back. This Bible is an honest book about people, about God, about lives. But if you want to know about God's love, study Jesus. Did anyone ever come to the place that they crossed over the marker of His love? Well, I can't love you no more. Because you just passed by. Never happened. Peter denied Him openly 3 times. And Jesus sought him out. One of the worst sinners to the Jewish people in the Bible was a tax collector. And Jesus spoke to that little man named Zacchaeus, said, come down from that tree, I need to be at your house. They drug a poor lady up, they'd been caught in adultery, drug her up before Jesus, and you know the story that was there. Where are you tormented? Where are you condemners? I don't have any, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. He would say, get out of that lifestyle. The lady at the well. What an awesome story. What a messed up life. Zacchaeus was a great sinner. We've all been great sinners. Jesus came to save great sinners. He didn't die for a righteous man. There weren't none to die for. The whole world was caught up in sin and powerless to do anything about it. God knows that. He knows that you don't have power over your own life. He knows that. That's why He says, Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. I need to eat at your house today. That's the story of the gospel. Whew. I've almost got my introduction done, folks. Listen to me. Have you ever felt like you passed the mark of God's love? That's what Satan wants you to think. What he doesn't want you to know is that it's impossible for that to happen. He'll throw stuff up in your face, in your mind. He'll bring thoughts in your mind of how you messed up your life and how you did this and how you did that and God don't love you no more. The worst thing a parent can ever tell a child of God is that God don't love them if they mess up in areas. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Paul was a man that was caught up into the third heavens, caught up into paradise. The Bible says God, he heard words that he wasn't allowed to even share, but I think it had something to do with God's love. Because he wrote about it. Go to Romans 8. I got to find a stopping place here, folks. Romans 8, verse 31. So many of it I'd like to use, but this will do. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Folk, don't ever get caught in that category pointing your finger at anybody. You point your finger at yourself. Don't ever condemn somebody. Don't ever get into the gossip trap of tearing somebody down, how bad they are. You're bad enough yourself. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, that is, he stands in our place. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, this is the world, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's the way the world feels about you. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. When we talk about angels and principalities, understand what he's talking about. These are the enemies. He's talking about good angels. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, folks, even when God brings a corrective judgment or a discipline, it's always a discipline that's done in love. And so what was Paul's secret? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, I've got to leave you with something. I'll leave you with my devotion this morning. I want to read that one more time. But I got to make a point. There are many voices in the world that say, come walk with me. Many voices. Sometimes we've listened to them. Those voices come from the spirit of the world and they're saying, you're missing out. You're not enjoying the life. What that voice is not telling you is that your life is being crippled. And your life is being marred. And your life is being destroyed. You see, Jesus said the thief comes for only these purposes. Kill, steal, and destroy. He'll eventually, he didn't tell you this up front. He says, come walk it with me. Look at all the glitter and shine. Look at all the fun you can have. But there's a voice that comes from heaven. The Father speaking in his Son saying, come walk with me. I will give you life. I will be in your life. I will help you in all of life. Don't listen to the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the glitter of the world attract you. Come walk with me. Can I leave you with Jeremiah 10:23? Go back one more time. This was my morning devotion. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to really leave this planted in your heart, or in my teaching anyway. Jeremiah 10:23. Listen. Listen, get this lesson straight. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Folks, when you hear that old refrain, I surrender all. That's a message. I surrender. It's a message. At the cross, where I first saw the light. It's a message. That's the message of God saying, don't listen to the world. Come walk with me. Come walk with me. Amen. I could you have your stories. I mean, you have your own testimony. So I know you don't have to listen to all mine, but so many times, I'm not telling you to listen to strange voices. God speaks into your heart. But as a servant of the Lord, I could give you, without number, many times God has told me of things that were going to happen, or things that He had provided for us, or direction for our lives. You can have that. It is yours, you child of God. It's available to you. I remember when we were dragging my boys all over the country, my wife, and I was an evangelist, averaging $50 a week. Couldn't get my car fixed. Had transmission trouble. I had a preacher from a minister from Odessa, Texas, call and said, "Brother Martin, will you come hold me revival?" I said, "Let me pray about it." I didn't want to tell him that I didn't have the money to fix my car. The little house we were staying in, my wife and I held hands, my two boys, and we prayed. Paracletos spoke to me and said, "You have $300 in the mail." That's happened lots of times, folks. And I told my wife, "God said we've got $300 in the mail." I went to the post office, and we had $333. Why did God tell me we had $300? Because He wanted me to tithe and honor Him. See, well, the tithe had only been $30. The tithe would have been $33. I called the preacher back and said, "Well, we got our answer. We're coming to hold you revival." I didn't tell him anything about the car. That's happened so many times, folks. I mean, in our moments of, we had no hope, nothing to work with, and God would speak into my heart, "Here's the answer." We were traveling back from Houston. I'm talking about gas fumes. I don't have any money. God says, "You've got $100 in the mail." So my wife ran out of the post office. There wasn't no money there. Checked the mailbox at our house. Wasn't any money there. Walked in the house, and on the kitchen table was an envelope. And guess what was in it? Check for $100. My cousin's wife had come to wash her clothes. She checked the mail front, put the mail on the table. Listen, what I'm telling you, He tells you what you need to know. We're not trying to be fortune tellers. I'm not trying to be nobody else's. I'm not a prophet, folks. I don't try to prophesy over your life. I've been through that. I don't like that. But God will speak into your heart with what you need to hear when you need to hear it. He wants you not to be afraid of the future or of anything. This ministry, I could tell you stories about this ministry. But I don't have to. You got your own story. Can you say, "I love you, Jesus"? Now, the only question I have left. Has Jesus spoke to your heart today? Have you heard from Him today? Would you like to come up? Let me pray with you. Do you have a need? Is there an adjustment you need to make in your life? I know. See, I look at sweet little Martha here. Martha just had a son that went on to be with the Lord. I know about that. I've stood by the grave of my son. They've not stood by the grave of our son. There's not a deeper hurt than that. I don't know of a deeper hurt than that. But Jesus never left us. And He kept speaking into our lives. And I know that when it comes time for me to make my passage, I may never get preached to you again, folks, but that's immaterial. I know I'm going to see that boy. And my mama. Most of all, my Jesus. Let's stand together. Lord, You prepared me to be a sanctuary. pure and holy, tried and true. So with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, just